And hour number two.
Number two?
Hour number two, we only have three more left, which seems like a day off compared to the day I had yesterday.
Yes, that is true. And you killed the Rome show, by the way.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, you were rocking and rolling, man. You're just a machine. And you go from one to the other, then call the game, get on the plane, come home, just...
You're a piece of work, I'll tell you that. We talked a lot in the first hour about the game last night with the Kings and the Blazers. We also talked about the comments of Terry Stotts. Boy, oh boy. And good for him. Good for him for being as critical as he was towards George Karl. Jerry Reynolds, he's got a book out, but his book didn't upset anybody. His book, Reynolds Remembers, was great. Now, if the sequel, Reynolds Remembers Everything, comes out, it may be a different story. Right, Jerry?
Well, it very well could, and you guys better be nice to me. but I tell you what, Coach Karl, I can't imagine a situation where a guy would just ruin his reputation anymore. I mean, this has served him no purpose whatsoever.
Yeah, we're all bewildered by it. You know, Jerry, I know you and I in Portland last night, I was talking with Kevin Calabro, and I showed you the quotes from Terry Stotts, you know, his comments on Damian Lillard, and now I hear he's talking about I'm paraphrasing here, the ethics of the NBA officiating, and, you know, he's talking about Carmelo Anthony and Kenya Martin being financially irresponsible because they grew up without dads and they didn't have anybody to teach them how to be a man. Whoa. I mean, good Lord, I actually feel sorry for the man. I really do.
Well, it does seem like he's, he just went over the edge. I don't know if George has always had a penchant for wanting attention and being the center of attention, and it maybe being out of it. I really don't know his motives, but it's not working. And basically, for him to really go against the integrity of the league, that is, for all the other things he's done and said, that is the grand slam homer.
Oh boy. Yeah, Jerry. If Reynolds Remembers Everything is ever published, like how many pages are we talking about? Are we?
Yeah, Jerry.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you think?
It would start to look like War and Peace.
That is a classic,
Jerry. You are the best, man. You know what? I knew that you were a legend, Jerry. But not until I did the game with Grant and people just absolutely blew up my Twitter. And I said, look, I'm not replacing Jerry. You can't replace Jerry. My question for you, Jerry, is, Where did the Jerryisms come from?
I don't know. I mean, that's pretty sad, I guess. But it's just kind of they
happen.
It kind of feels like it's something I want to say, and obviously some of them are absolutely ridiculous, and I'm ashamed of it a little bit later. And and Grant does it try to do his best from choking me on air sometimes. but with your experience, I mean, you just have to be who you are, and that's all I can say. I had a guy one time tell me at a book signing, he came up to me and said, I really don't like your work. He said, you're too old, you're too country, and you're too corny. And I said, guilty as charged. I said, I won't deny one of them, and I'm not ashamed of any of them.
You are who you are.
No doubt. He's the best.
Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you, Doug, you should have seen the old days, when Jerry and I used to have the Jerry Reynolds Show on TV on Channel 31. We used to do a half-hour TV show every week. Hey,
oh,
Jerry,
boy.
I mean, you want to talk about award-winning productions every week.
Oh, boy. I mean, I'm glad the archive, nobody can find that in the archives.
We have to find some of
that.
Well,
I'll tell you, if we do find one with Larry Bird, because, I'll never forget, Jerry, I know you remember this, very well, too, but Jerry was able to get Larry Bird to come down to Little Channel 31.
Get out of here.
And Jerry, and again, this was before cell phones. This was before things of that nature. And somehow, some way, people found out about it, and they were lined up on the street. Right, Jerry?
It was
unbelievable.
Yeah, it really was. I used my best recruiting on him. I actually poured a bunch of beer on him the night before, so got him to agree.
That was unbelievable.
Oh my goodness!
Of course, I poured some in myself too.
No, really. I mean, Larry came down. We did a 30-minute TV show, and this was in his prime with the Celtics. The most memorable 30 minutes of television that Jerry and I have ever done.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and of course, Larry. I say people don't realize how witty he can be, and of course, as you know, during the games where he's always texting and giving me crap about this or that, you know. But, you know, good people.
If I use your name, I've never met Larry before, so I'm gonna use your name to get in to meet the man. Would that be okay, or will they throw me out?
Yeah, I would. I mean, it might keep him getting in. I don't know.
We were on a bus getting ready to leave, and we were in Indianapolis getting ready to play the Pacers. I will never forget this. And so we're on the bus getting ready to leave, and there was our bus driver was an elderly man. So somebody on the bus goes to the bus driver and goes, "Hey, have you ever heard of Jerry Reynolds?" And the driver goes, "Yeah, I can't say that I have." And somebody goes, "You've never heard of Jerry Reynolds?" And he goes, he paused for a minute, and there was a Jerry Reynolds that played for the Milwaukee Bucks. He goes, "Yeah, doesn't he play in the NBA for the Bucks?" And we were dying. And we're like, "How about Jerry Reynolds from French Lick, Indiana?" No. No response from the bus driver in Indiana. See, Jerry, those are the stories that would be in my book, you know?
Well, you know, and as you know, I was sitting right behind him. You know, so
that didn't help.
I was going to say, but it's a good reminder. Anytime you get to feel like you're a big deal, you'll find out you're not.
This is true.
Unbelievable.
Well, like I've always said the ultimate story was a true story. I think Sports Illustrated did some years ago, and I told a story about just being over Larry's house and messing around and whatever and doing this and that and the other. And I told him, I said, my mom was still alive then, but I said, I'm going to drive up the road and, you know, mow her yard and before I have to take off. And he said, I'll just throw a mower in there and I'll go up and help you. And so he did, you know, went up, didn't, little house had a pretty good sized yard, you know, in the Midwest. So we got it mowed. And then he
you and Larry
said,
Bird.
He said, you know, you don't mind if I go in and say hello to your mom, do you? And I said, no, that'd be great. And she'd really appreciate that. So he did, you know, a little short visit. And anyway, after Larry left, my mom said, Now, which one of Georgia Bird's boys was that? I said, well, Mom, that was Larry. And she said, now, whatever happened to him?
All time.
Oh, my God.
Jerry, you are the best.
I was going to say, anytime you get thinking you're a big deal, a lot of people don't know.
Oh,
whatever
man.
Happened Dude. To him? That is a classic.
Oh, man. I wish I could hug you right now, man. That is
oh,
good
my gosh.
Stuff right
How
there.
How about that? Oh, man.
Jerry, you know, you're old school, and Grant and I have been talking about this today. Analytics. What are your thoughts on just the whole new craze of analytics and what they're doing to the game?
I like it to a degree. You know, I think if you really try to use it for everything, I think you're going to be fooled. I think the eyeball test is still a pretty good one. I think it you should be able to know what you're seeing, and I think an awful lot of people in the game or, you know, analytics people sometimes really don't know what they're watching. Because it can't tell you everything. But, yeah, there's some of it I really like. I think it tells you, you know, gives you good information. But I don't think you should ever totally fall in love with it. You know, it's just kind of like the draft. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's no sure things. There's no sure stats that are gonna always work. You know, that would be my take on it. I mean, use it as a tool. You know, I always say it should be in the toolbox, just like a strength coach, just like assistant coaches. I mean, everything has value, but if you make one thing too valuable, I think you'll be disappointed.
I'll tell you, though, what's great, I told Doug the story that we had on TV the other night. You know, we were talking about Joel Embiid, and I asked you, I said, Jerry, can you believe that we're watching NBA basketball? And I go, can you imagine if somebody had told you, you know, 20, 25, 30 years ago, even 15 for that matter, that, you know, all the great big men in the league – you know, would now be shooting threes. And then, you know, I said, you know, in a guard-oriented league, which is really what this league has become, I said, here's another big man in Joel Embiid. And then I mentioned Anthony Davis. I mentioned Karl-Anthony Towns. I mentioned DeMarcus Cousins. I may have mentioned Hassan Whiteside. I can't remember. And you made a very excellent point. And you said, yeah, now the next thing that all of these guys have to do is win.
Yeah, you know, I really do think it's a different game, and it's not. I don't mean to disparage those players or their talents because they're special talents, but I don't know that it's a total coincidence that the last two world champions really played primarily with centers that were very limited role players, whether it's Tristan Thompson or certainly Bogut. You know, to be honest, he didn't. They, you know, Draymond Green was a center when it counted, so. You know, the center position has been neutralized to a degree. You know, now it's also true, and I mean, I think with these guys, they're so gifted and they can play on the perimeter. I think that'll, you know, it's a pendulum that'll eventually switch back. I mean, I think you can win with a center as a key guy, but he's going to have to be the total package, you know, much like, you know, DeMarcus and Davis, these guys that can play out on the floor, can play with their back to the baskets, you know, the complete basketball players, the days of just the Dwight Howard type, or, you know, it's going to be tough to win that way if you feel like you have to go in the low post and just clog up the lane with centers.
Jerry, last night we saw Terry Stotts go after DeMarcus in a way that, could this be a recipe where that, you know, they say we're going to give you about 30, big fella, 20 to 30, but we're going to make other people beat you, because ultimately in this winning streak, guys have really been playing well, knocking down shots, a lot of points from the bench. We didn't see that last night. Will that continue to be maybe a recipe people try to use?
Boy, I think so, Doug. I think that Terry, you know, the way I read it was, you know, basically they decided, okay, we're going to really focus on DeMarcus. As soon as he catches, we'll send the second man on him hard, and then everybody else will be sloughing in his direction.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it was always going to be a third guy get in the picture. Now, as you know, what that did, it left the Kings with a lot of good shots, of which they made very, very few, and nobody really stepped up other than Garrett Temple to play good offensive game, and so, as you know, these coaches in the league, they pay attention. So I think we'll see more of it. You know, I thought DeMarcus had an amazing game, considering, because you know, it was tough just to get shots off, and to get, you know, 19 and get 28 points was terrific. So, and answer your question, yeah, I think we'll see more of it. And I think that was a game where you really did miss Rudy Gay tremendously, because that was the place where you needed that second guy that could go create shots and everything. And, you know, you just didn't, have that guy.
You know, the guy I'm puzzled about greatly right now is Darren Collison, because I thought when the Kings did not have him in the first eight games, it cost the Kings, you know, a few games. But I got to tell you, I'm really disappointed in how he's playing, Jerry, and I can't quite figure out why. But I expected more, and I still expect more from Darren Collison.
Well, I do, too. And, I mean, it just doesn't seem to have ever gotten his rhythm yet with this team, or, you know, and obviously different circumstances, as you said, missed those early games, a new coaching staff, a lot of new teammates, and he hasn't been as good. And it's one thing about Darren, it's not lack of effort or caring or trying. You always have to factor that in, but he just doesn't look as comfortable out there for some reason or another. And I still kind of am a fan in the sense that I think he's such a hard worker and a good person, basically, that I kind of think he'll find his niche, and his team needs him too. I mean, it's going to be very difficult to make the playoffs if Darren can't get back to being the player that we know he can be.
Yeah, looking at Ty Lawson, Jerry, I'm really liking what I see, the fact that he's playing downhill. And I had referenced the fact that initially it looked like he's so fast that he was trying to figure out, do I slow down and I wait for everyone? And it looks like Coach Yeager's allowed him the ability to, if you're out there, try to make something happen. He was hitting a step back jumper, 17-foot jumper, getting in the lane, and then he would hit people late. If he can continue to play like that and you get Darren to step up, that really bodes well for the Kings.
Well, it does. Well, you hit on it, I think, Doug. I think that Coach Yeager's starting to, really understand his team and his players. And obviously there's a couple of guys that probably as time goes, we may see less of them.
Mm-hmm.
for the very same reason you're talking about Ty, you're going to see more of. But I think with Ty, you know, let him go. You know, he's a guy that can get in the paint and break people down on a consistent basis. Now he's getting a little more confidence in his offense, and I think that's all good. I think during this winning streak, he was a real key, and just like last night, he didn't really make shots and play particularly well, and that's a big reason the team couldn't win. I think he's become a real factor.
Jerry Reynolds, nice enough to join us right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Is this the highlight of your day, Jerry?
You know, sadly, it is. you know, I mean,
Mrs. Reynolds is not going to shine
tells you
brightly.
A lot about my life. Yeah, I just finished a nice walk. You know, I call it my Pete Carril walk because now I'm going walking about an hour and maybe going a half mile. I think. I'm not quite as slow as Coachy, but it's getting tougher.
Hey, yeah. The slower you get, the smarter you get.
Well,
though, Jerry.
I know it worked that way with Coachy. Yeah, I mean, I miss the stories, Doug. You know, as you know, Coachy. I mean, there's never a time I didn't go out with him. I didn't learn something.
Hey, well, let me tell you the quote of the day. Which one of Georgia Bird's boys was that, Jerry?
Yeah, Mom didn't keep up with the NBA a lot.
And whatever happened to him?
Whatever happened to him?
Whatever became
Jerry,
of him?
Jerry, I love you, man. You are the absolute best, man.
Well, I tell you what, you guys, it's always good being with you. And I tell you what, I thought you did a great job on doing TV. So, though, you know, hey.
I'm just glad you can't do play-by-play, actually.
Replaceable. You just, the truth is, everybody just better just be as good as they can as long as they can.
Well said.
Hey, you know,
Jerry.
While we're talking about Coachy real quick, Doug, I'll never forget, Jerry, Doug said this, that, you know, Doug learned how to play basketball when he got to Sacramento because of Pete Carril. So what do you mean by that?
Well, you know, as Jerry knows, he's been watching it for so long, and you too, Grant, I was a hooper. I went out there and I allowed my God-given talents to dictate if I was able to play well or not. And when I got here, all of a sudden, passing angles, screening angles, cutting through with a purpose, understanding time and score, you know, reading my teammates and understanding that it's been two times down the court and Webb hasn't got the ball, it might be time to – just all the little tiny things, Jerry, and it blew my mind that there were things that, you know, I didn't quite understand. And it seemed to me that I could use less of myself and I got more, and that just was crazy to me.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I thought I had a pretty good understanding and could watch practices and games and get to the simple parts of it. But, I mean, he understood the nuances, you know, the fact, you know, little things like if this guy cuts hard, it's not about him. It's what it opens up, you know, on the weak side or something like that, you know. And you know, just to make a guy understand it, no, you cut hard not for yourself, for somebody else.
Yeah.
The little things, the nuances of the game, as you said, the passing angles.
Yeah.
You know, the things that sometimes as fans or just lovers of the game, we really don't think about enough that, yeah, it's an easy pass from a certain angle. It's a tough pass from another.
Yeah.
And as you said, you know, it's less about athleticism and really understanding the game and having the intellect to play it. And of course, you know, that's one of the problems we see with, you know, young players. It just takes time. And some, of course, some never get it. And of course, some do.
You know, Grant and Jerry, I just want to say this. I know Coachy's doing well because I usually would call him about once a month and he would answer sometimes. So I text him and I said, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, miss you, love you, man. And he didn't reply back, but I got a reply back. So I don't think he knows how to use the technology, but I know he's doing okay because something came back and just didn't say anything.
Yeah, that would be Coachy.
I got to tell you, and one final thing about Coachy is I think that I've never been around somebody that with one simple sentence could put something in context and make you understand exactly what he was talking about when you had no idea what he was talking about. One simple sentence. Have you ever been around anyone that could do that like Coachy?
Mind-blowing.
You know, no, not very many. I mean, there's maybe a couple of guys. I mean, I always thought, you know, I was fortunate enough to go to a lot of John Wooden clinics and things, and I thought, you know, that was one of the marvels of him, you know, could get right to it. And you know, that's maybe what real genius is.
Yep. Yeah.
Getting to the simple parts and making it simple where people can understand it.
No, hey, Doug, have you ever heard Jerry's story when he was coaching at Vincennes Junior College with Footsie Walker and Bob McAdoo?
I have not, but
Jerry, would you tell him that story? It's one of the funniest stories I've ever heard.
Doug, I mean, it's 100 years ago, but anyway, I was coaching. We had Bob McAdoo, of course, went on to become an all-time great, and Footsie Walker, who played in the NBA a long time, but so we were obviously very good. But Footsie would get frustrated with Mac because Mac was, well, by, honestly, quite selfish. You know, he would gladly shoot every ball.
Right.
And anyway, so Footsie came over one time and said, "Coach, you know, what am I going to do? Every time I bring the ball down, Mac's calling for it and tell me to throw it to him." And said, and I just said, "Footsie, I said, are you the point guard?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, don't throw it to him if you don't want to." And then, but Foot said, "Okay." I said, "Yeah, I'm the point guard." I said, "Well, but let me just keep one thing in mind. Now, if the game gets close, you might want to throw it to him." And then Foot said, "Oh, I think I get your picture now."
Is that a classic Tucker one?
Oh, man, Jerry. Hey, if me and Grant could just co-author the book, man, it's a bestseller, baby.
Well, how about that? If the game gets close, you may want to think about throwing it to him.
Yeah, you might want to rethink that.
That's one of those things that sometimes just keep it simple here. Don't outsmart yourself.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
But just like you said, Doug, you know, there's a point where, okay, we haven't got it to Webb a few times.
Hey, I'm just saying, you know, the most profound thing that Coachy ever said, and it's so super simple, and a lot of people, when you say it, they go, "Oh, I get it," but it gets more profound the deeper you get. He said, "Doug, watch the guy in front of you to tell you what to do."
Yeah.
Goodness.
How about
gracious.
That, right?
How
just,
about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, just read that. And wow. I can tell you, Doug, as you know, watching the Kings or a lot of the NBA teams and college teams, I can tell you that a lot of times the offensive player doesn't even know who's guarding.
Well, Jerry, it's great having you on. Do you have any big New Year's Eve plans, Jerry, after the Kings-Grizzlies game? That's a big night for you.
It is a big night for me, and I'll be watching football at home.
You and Miss Reynolds popping some bottles?
You know what? We might just have a drink.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about. Get wild. You never know.
You are the best.
All right, Jerry. We'll see you Saturday.
All right, see you Saturday. All take care, guys.
Oh, my God. Is he a beauty or what?
He is the best, man. I love Jerry.
How about that Larry Bird story?
Wow.
How about Larry putting the mower in the car? I'll help you.
Yeah, I'll help you out. Larry Bird's out there.
Can I go say hi to your mom? Sure.
Which one of Georgia Bird's boys was that?
Whatever happened, whatever became him.
Oh, my God. I needed that right there. I hope everybody out there, you needed that as well, because that was primetime Jerry Reynolds.
Is that classic or what?
Oh, he's the best.
You imagine that conversation with Footsie Walker and Bob McAdoo?
He probably looked at him like, you know, if the game gets close.
You may want to think about throwing it to him.
I'm just saying.
Oh, my gosh. An absolute classic. By the way, Dave Yeager is going to be coming on in about 5 minutes, so we'll talk with the coach of the Kings. We'll get his take on this past week. We'll look ahead to the rematch with Memphis. It's Saturday, a 2 o'clock start.
2 o'clock?
2 o'clock.
Oh, man, I got to adjust my schedule. I'm glad you said that, Grant.
Well, what time did you think it was?
I was 7:30.
You would have been late.
I sure
you would have been way late. Like, the game would have been over late.
No, I'm just joking.
You're a beauty. All right, we'll come back. Dave Yeager, the coach of the Kings, next.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Grant Napier Show with me, DC, Doug Christie. We are talking everything. Just got off the line with the one and only Jerry Reynolds. Jerry Isms, he is the absolute best. Shortly here, we will be talking to Dave Yeager, coach of the Sacramento Kings, and a weekly show with him and talk about everything Kings and what's going on. Last game with the Portland Trailblazers, and looking forward to the Memphis Grizzlies, which the team that he used to coach. We went down there last time and was able to put a little bit of a smackdown on them, Grant, which was good for the Kings. But you got to know that they are coming in and they're searching for blood. And this is going to be a game that, after dropping one in Portland, that was a winnable game. You're coming home. You wanna come out ready to play against this team, because they keep the score down and they muck the game up a little bit.
You know, it's odd when you look at Memphis. Since Mike Conley's come back, they have not played that well, and they're playing tonight against Oklahoma City. But we'll see. I'm with you. I think this will be an interesting game. It is a pleasure to have with us the coach of the Kings. And, Coach, I got to tell you, I don't know if you were listening or not, but you have a tough act to follow. We just had Jerry Reynolds on.
Dude, that was classic.
How great is that, huh? How about the Larry Bird story? Is that just unbelievable or what?
I'd like to sit in the back of the plane sometime just to fly on a seat and listen to him and G-Man talk about, you know, the things they've seen and stories they have are just unbelievable.
Coach, you can't make that stuff up. I got to sit in Jerry's seat, so G-Man was right in front of me, and I got to talk to him. And it was a pleasure when I played, but it's even more of a pleasure now to listen to them and be around them.
It is unbelievable. And the Footsie Walker, Bob McAdoo story, I can just see Jerry in a huddle. Hey, Footsie, you're the point guard, right? Okay, well, don't throw him the ball then. But if the game gets close, you might want to think about throwing the ball. I can just see that conversation going on. Oh, my gosh. Coach, four-game winning streak snapped last night. Was it a matter of your team just shooting the ball poorly? Or when you look back at that game, what did you see?
I think, you know, two moving things happening. You know, Portland had not been playing very well. And they were due, and the way that they do it is they shoot their way out of things, and mm-hmm. they're a scoring team, and I thought they made a lot of shots. They made some tough shots, but I missed some shots. But, you know, we've been getting by, you know, going like crazy in the fourth quarters and winning games. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, against a team that can score and guys that can, if you let them get comfortable, and they don't need to get comfortable to score anyways, you know, we allowed 60 points in the first half. They didn't feel us at all, and guys got in the rhythm, and a lot of guys felt good. I think they had four guys shoot over 50% from three. So just too many guys getting comfortable, and just one of those nights where, you know, we were due for a game where we didn't make a lot of shots either, and both of them kind of came together at the same time. So, you know, it's a good opportunity for us to rally up a little bit. I think, you know, there was a lot of talk before the game of that game meaning a little extra because of the tiebreaker implications if both teams were at 8 and 9 coming down the stretch. And I think that's a good experience for us to go through. I didn't think we came out with enough force, and we've got to come out and play better early and play a 48-minute game and not, you know, just try to get into the fourth quarter.
Coach, Garrett Temple and DeMarcus Cousins, both same sentiments. Garrett Temple used the word soft. Cuz said we didn't come out and hit first. So that obviously is what is being said in the locker room. How are guys?
All right, we will. All right, well, let's get him. Coach, can you hear us now? Okay, great.
Gotcha.
So we were – go ahead, Doug. Yeah. Finish your question to the coach.
I was saying Garrett Temple and Cuz both said – Garrett said the word soft. Cuz said the word didn't hit first. So that's kind of what's going in the locker room. How are guys receptive to that type of a message from you?
It's good. You know, I mean, today was an opportunity for, you know, coming in late last night. I brought him in today to try to be on the game time for the Memphis game. You know, you don't see 2 o'clock afternoon games very often. And so brought him in at 1 o'clock today. We'll bring him in at 1 o'clock tomorrow and try to go through all the Memphis stuff tomorrow, and we'll play live tomorrow also. But today was a video day. And why were we successful at different points in the last couple weeks? Mm-hmm. And so we showed the positive things. And then you show the compare and contrast where, you know, where if we ease into games or we don't have that defensive focus, those things that, you know, if a guy gets beat, you don't show the team that stuff. That's not what it's about. It's about the team stuff and the schemes and what we're trying to do and how much force and how much physicality we're playing with defensively. And, you know, our offense needs deflections. Our offense needs to turn some people over. And so if we own that a little bit, and we can make some improvements. And then at the offensive end, same thing, you know, where we get guys into some better positions to make DeMarcus a little bit more difficult to guard, and also give other guys, you know, the cutting opportunities to open up the court a little bit. And then there's nothing better than an isolation play when nobody knows it's an isolation play. You know, when you've got cutting and you see the backs of help side defenders because cutters are going, and then he breaks a guy down from the elbow and he's at the rim in one bounce.
Right.
So we got to give some people some different looks. As you know, I heard you guys talking about with Jerry. It's a stealing league. If something works for one team, there's so many assistant coaches doing all these game preps.
Yep.
That's their livelihood. You know what I mean? They're going to go to their head coach and go, hey, this is what somebody ran against them. This is some things that worked against them. That stuff goes around the league pretty quick.
Coach, December is almost done, and I have been doing this a long time, 29 years of announcing basketball, and I don't ever recall a month that we just experienced with all the traveling. The good news is that starting on Saturday, I believe it's 8 of the next 9 are at home, which enables you to get into a routine, have practices on a fairly regular basis that you could not do during the month of December. How important is this stretch coming up for you?
It's good. I mean, just to sum up what you're saying, I mean, if people, you know, it's difficult to understand, but when I walked through the plane last night, there's four cabins. Players are up in the first cabin, and then everybody else is in the other, you know, from their back. And I walked from there to the back of the plane, big plane, and I'm telling you, from radio guys to camera crew guys to PR people, everybody was asleep. Coaching staff, everybody's exhausted.
Yeah.
And so that's why we didn't hit it hard today, but I don't want to definitely take a day off either. I want to keep a ball in their hands and try to keep some rhythm. But at the end of that Memphis game, that's going to put a ribbon on that month. And that's what I've talked to our guys about. It has been a tough road. And then because, you know, we've talked about this on other shows, I think, how you segment the season. The season's too long to digest mentally, 82 games.
Yeah.
So let's put a ribbon on. Let's make this. This is our big push here. Then we got 2 days between, you know, starting a trip to Denver. And then look at that like a two-week block. And what you're saying is, you know, an 8 or 9, 10 games in there where we're mostly at home. Got an opportunity to work on some stuff, get better. Hopefully we stay healthy, knock on wood. Maybe get Rudy back. That's a big deal for us. I think we're a better team, without a doubt, with Rudy. And then after that, then there's another two-week block where we get that road trip from Hades, you know, where they threw the Philadelphia game in. And then at that point, there's another 2 weeks before the All-Star break, and there we are. It's the middle of February. So that's kind of how we're looking at it.
You know, Coach, you and I had a chance to have a quick conversation, and we mentioned Tony Allen, and I'd like you to kind of mention it with our fans here. The standpoint, you say, of learning how to play, and Tony's a guy that guys will double team off of. But instead of just sitting there waiting for that outside shot, which sometimes we here at the Kings struggle with, Tony learned how to cut, and you still have a problem doing that off of him because he has a big guy in Gasol that will find him. Can we bring something like that to some of the Kings players who are struggling with shooting?
Yeah, good question. You know, first of all, you know, he's a great defender, and he's a winning player, and winning players find ways to contribute to their team.
Yes.
Losing players find out ways to help themselves first and foremost. And so he, you know, what we were talking about was how he stayed in the league this long without having a knockdown jumper.
Yep.
And what he does is he learns how to cut and play off of other guys. And very effective at that. He hurt us at their place. You know, we watched it on video today. You can't just stand there and think he's going to stand there too. He's going to be on the move and try to be hard to guard. And certainly then he gets an offensive rebound or he gets a steal and some of those things. So we've got to have, you know, our complimentary guys finding ways to impact the game that may or may not be making an open shot. Could be giving yourself up on a cut, setting a back screen, getting a deflection, keeping a guy out of the paint, coming over. You know, the other night we had a clip where DeMarcus had to switch, and the big is rolling down the lane, and the shot goes up, and Ty Lawson hit Myers Leonard so hard in his legs he about buckled over on the rebound. Now, did Ty get the rebound? No.
Right.
But Myers Leonard didn't get the rebound. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or Miles Plumlee or Mason Plumlee or
yeah, sure.
Whichever Plumlee. You know what I mean? So yep. Those kinds of plays are the winning plays. So, you know, I heard you earlier, and it's, you know, something that we've talked about too. We got to get Darren Collison going back again.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the defensive end, I always looked at him from the other side, where he played with a chip on his shoulder. Like, you know what, I should be a starter, and I'm going to pick guys up 94 feet, and I'm going to be bothersome, and I'm going to make the offense for the other team start out a little further. I think it's so easy to look at, you know, he's shooting 37%, I think, the last 10 games. You know, we need Darren to be a successful team, and we know he'll come around. He's a good dude and a good teammate, and I got to do some things to get him going. But I think there's times maybe he's – overthinking or trying to get us in stuff or trying to get DeMarcus going a little bit, where I think Darren's a scorer, and I think that's his skill. And if he becomes and goes and scores, then other things can play off of that and not be a setup guy quite as much.
Well said. Well, Doug, I know one thing we're not talking about today.
Go ahead.
Larry, we're not talking about who the Vikings are playing in the playoffs this year.
Low blow.
I don't know. There's nothing for me to say. There's nothing.
Hey,
and
Coach,
the Packers beat them.
Coach, that's a double. That's a double whammy. I was going to say we weren't talking about ice houses.
Oh, my gosh.
That's where I was going.
It was nice in Minnesota, Coach. It was very mild. I went for a walk outside. I didn't even have to use the skyways. And Doug and I walked all the way. I mean, we were like, wow, it's beautiful out.
You know, y'all didn't say anything to Jerry about how Doug went 2-0 on his road trip as his replacement, and Jerry comes back on the road and we lose, and the winning streak stops. But, you know, we got a lot of respect for Coach Jerry.
No, I did not mention that at all, Coach. You tried to get me killed over here. They were already on me on Twitter.
That's a great point. That's right. Doug undefeated in his trifecta with the Kings, and – you know. So we'll work on that, Coach. I'll tell you what. I'll have a stern talk with Jerry before the game on Saturday. Okay.
Yeah, you're about to get a call right now. Yeah.
All right. Have a great night. We'll see you Saturday.
Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year, Coach. Thank you very much. That's Dave Yeager joining us. Why don't we take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll take some of your phone calls at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140 right after this. Rich Sermonello from College Football Editor, reporter for Campus Insiders, going to be coming on. We'll talk about the Final Four, which is going to be on Saturday, the semifinals of college football. John Schumann of NBA TV and NBA.com at 6 o'clock. Been a good hour so far, led by the one and only Jerry Reynolds. Classic stuff.
Only like Jerry can bring it, man. I, when we used to go to training camp, Grant, and just practices sometimes, those guys would be sitting down there, and you just, from time to time, you know, we get in a water break, you go down, and you hear the damnedest things. Just sitting there talking to those guys. God rest his soul, Sterling.
Scotty Sterling was
the absolute best. Him and Jerry sitting down there.
Used to love talking to Scotty.
Scotty, one day he goes, Doug, come here. And we were warming up. I'm like, hey, Scotty, what's up? He said, I just want to know, what the hell do you do? And I said, what do you mean? He said, I've never seen somebody in that type of shape. What do you do? And I told him, I said, well, Scotty, I go into the garage, I put on a weight vest, and I jump rope for 30 minutes straight. He should have seen the look on his face. And he goes, I can't say what he said. Get back to practice. Scotty was the best, man.
He was. You know, he worked for many years with Al Davis and the Raiders. He was in their front office, and he had some phenomenal stories about Al, and just loved talking to Scotty. Yeah. I'll tell you that when you could sit on the bench and Scotty Sterling was on my left and Coachy was on my right, like you know me, I talk a lot. I just would shut up and listen and laugh, and I learned so much just by listening to these guys, you know? Not about basketball, just about life.
Oh, yeah. Being on the road with Coachy, my favorite time was after the game, go get on the plane. I'd be sitting down in my seat, and he would come waddling down with his glass of wine, and he would stop at my seat, and we would just talk. And a lot was basketball, but it would be related towards life at the same time. You just you learn so much.
Before Coachy stopped smoking cigars, Coachy would get on the plane with his stogie in his hand, unlit, of course, and we would fly from Sacramento to the East Coast, and he would have his stogie, you know, in between his index finger and his middle finger. He would have the cigar in his hand, and sometimes we would have to stop and refuel. And there's Coach here on the tarmac. He'd have to get away from the fuel truck, and, you know, he'd waddle out there, and but he'd get back on the plane. His stogie would still be in his hand. But Coach, he was the type of guy, he would get up in the middle of the flight, and he would walk to try to find someone to talk to. And he would observe what people were doing.
Yeah.
And he comes by, well, I'll never forget this. Coach, he comes walking down, and he stops. He's got that baseball cap on.
Yep.
He's got that stogie in his hand unlit. And he goes like this to me. He goes, I don't get these guys in their cars. Because, you know, some guys are reading car magazines.
Yes.
He goes, what is it with these guys and these cars? You can't take them with you. You can't blank them. Okay? He goes, you can't take them with you. You can't blank them. And you can't eat them. So what the hell are these? You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, you know, Coachy was just always have you in stitches.
Profound, man. Some of the best lines in practice, and just, man, miss him and love him dearly.
All right. If you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140. 800-920-1140. I guess, you know, we haven't even talked that much about it, but the good news from Derek Carr's brother, David Carr, is, you know, that he doesn't have ligament damage. And again, remember how we said we really won't know what the full prognosis is until the surgeon gets in there and looks inside. And so the good news is, again, his brother David Carr wrote that both doctors and the family were pleased with what they saw. And again, wrote that there was no ligament damage.
You know, even also, Grant, ligament and or nerve damage. Because from time to time, you can, you know, even with my ankle surgery where they sutured it, there, obviously something's with the nerve. And when I touch it, I can feel it from time to time. So in your leg, you know, you got nerves everywhere and you do not want right. to touch something like that. So great to hear yep. that it all turned out positive.
And for Bill Romanowski, a little message to you. What this means is, okay, it means that there would be a shorter rehab time. And a better chance that Derek Carr will be able to go full tilt in spring and summer practices.
Not 3 weeks?
No.
Four weeks?
No.
8 weeks?
8 weeks he might be able to walk and move around a little bit.
Oh, man.
No, 8 weeks he would probably, you know, at least give it a shot.
That, I mean, that's really awesome news, though, for them, because now you know going forward you got your guy, and now you just go out there and play. I'm sure his teammates are happy about that as well.
And it looks like that the Cowboys are going to play Mark Sanchez a lot, Darren McFadden a lot, and I'm surprised that
Grant.
No Tony Romo.
Really?
Yeah.
So who? Answer me this question, Grant. Who is your backup quarterback? Who is your backup quarterback?
Tony Romo. If Dak Prescott gets hurt in the first quarter of the first playoff game, you think they're putting Mark Sanchez in a game?
Exactly. So why wouldn't you play him? It has to just be.
We're talking to Jerry Jones. He does. When does Jerry Jones ever do anything the right way?
That just it doesn't make any sense. Are you trying to limit all the talk and the blogs and the all that doesn't? If he's your backup quarterback, he should be the first guy that has a chance to go in and get some reps and get ready for the playoffs.
You're asking the wrong guy. I don't understand.
Wow.
Again. They're
maybe we
reporting
can ask
in
Stanley.
Dallas that
Stanley,
Mark Sanchez
where are you?
Is we don't want Stanley is going to be active, okay?
Okay,
and that he's going to be getting most of the reps, as will running back Darren McFadden.
Man, sometimes I just don't understand things in sports. It's 4:56. Time for a retirement checkup. Call David Hedger at Granite Bay Asset Management Group 791-1737.
And I listen as a Giants fan. I'm not happy that Coach McAdoo is playing Odell Beckham and Eli Manning and some others. I would not play him.
Yeah.
Especially, they don't have 2 weeks off. They only have 1 week off. I don't understand that. That doesn't add up to me. But you know what? He's got his team at 10-5. He's done a hell of a job. He knows his team better than me. But I think that's quite a risk.
I hope for you that we're coming back on the air and it's just that, a risk that is avoided and they're healthy. I wouldn't want to wish anything. I like to see everyone healthy and going at it. But that is a big-time risk, especially when you talk about Odell Beckham wide out, getting hit. Be careful.
All right. We'll be right back. We'll talk some college football on Sports 1140 KHDK.